The Lord be with you.
And with
you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on earth nations will be in dismay, perplexed by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will die of fright in anticipation of what is coming upon the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But when these signs begin to happen, stand erect and raise your heads, because your redemption is at hand. Beware that your hearts do not become drowsy from carousing and drunkenness and the anxieties of daily life, and that they catch you by surprise like a trap. For that day will assault everyone who lives on the face of the earth. Be vigilant at all times, and pray that you have the strength to escape the tribulations that are imminent and to stand before the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord. If you look at the readings from last Sunday and the gospel reading today, you don't find a whole lot of difference, do you? It seems like nothing has changed from last week to this week. And yet we know that since last week and this week, we have entered a new year, a liturgical year in the church, the year of grace 2022. These apocalyptic words that Jesus uses today are from the readings of the book of Daniel that we listened to last week. He even uses the words of the heavens being shaken and the sun and the moon and the stars. There's a difference if we look into the understanding of the Jewish people and people today. There's a difference in understanding time. For the Jewish people, time was cyclical. It was like a circle. They would go through their year and they would observe all of the different celebrations and festivals that spoke the story of how God called them out of Egypt and brought them to the Holy Land. And then all of the history that happened after that, they would recall their own history as it unfolded in a linear way, but they would do it in a cycle of the year. So it was circular. I once heard that was the description of why we have an Advent wreath, where we can almost see kind of a linear progression of how the light begins to grow, but it grows in a circular way. So that each year we come back around, we celebrate the same mysteries again and again. Hopefully it's different for you, though, than last year. Think about it like this. If you're driving or climbing up a mountain and you're going up in a spiral sort of way, you keep that same circular motion, but each year you go a little bit higher. You find yourself being able to see a little bit farther. The vista becomes more and more beautiful. I like that metaphor of the spiritual life because in the cycle of the years, hopefully, if you can think back to what First Advent was last year, you will have made some progress since then. And it is that common repetition, that familiarity of the stories of the mysteries of Christ that we as Christians use to unfold throughout our year and every year in a circular manner, a cyclical manner, so that we find ourselves looking at each mystery, listening to the scripture, finding something in our prayer that is a little bit different, perhaps a little bit better each year. If you've ever been in a serious illness or had some kind of a serious physical problem, even the smallest part of healing is still healing, isn't it? So it doesn't have to be great advances that you make. Sometimes I think people are frustrated by not getting further than they want to be at a particular point in their life. It doesn't matter. As long as you are progressing, that's progress. So today we come together and we talk about the coming of Christ. Obviously, the season of Advent exists as a time of preparation for the nativity of our Lord, the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem at Christmas. And these 4 weeks are times for us to reflect on what that what the world was like before Christ came. I was thinking about this, you know, literally thinking about where I was last year on the first Sunday of Advent. And we were still coming out of the pandemic, and we were starting to get word of vaccines and things like that, so there was some kind of hope. But if you go back to the time before that, I'd like you to use this as a meditation. Think about how we were a people in darkness. Even in our own experience, we didn't know where this whole thing was going. I'm not sure we still do, but we didn't know where this COVID-19 was going. And we were all wondering, right, is there going to be something that comes and saves us? So think about the people of Israel, who for about 2,000 years since the time of Abraham had been promised a covenant and were continually frustrated, waiting for something to happen, saying, what's going to happen? What's going to become of us? Is there really anything to hope for? That's quite a darkness if you think about it. We have the privilege of having the experience and the presence of Christ in our lives. But imagine what life would be if we didn't have that. This was the people of Israel before Jesus. So waiting for the birth of Jesus is something that took an awful long time. There were promises made through the prophets. There was a covenant made with God. But there was nothing really certain, and nobody really knew when it was going to happen. So there's the coming at Advent. There's the coming of the Lord that we read about, the coming of the Son of Man in the gospel today. That's another coming that we need to prepare for. Once again, we don't know when it's going to happen, but we do know it will happen. And it can be a fearsome meditation. If we look at the scriptures and we listen to all the things, the roaring of the seas and the waves, all those things that are going to fill us with fear, well, that's one way you could look at it, I suppose. So the first coming of Jesus is really quite different. Bethlehem is quite different from the end of the world, isn't it? Quiet and kind of unwitnessed kind of thing. And then this very apocalyptic, dramatic image that we have of the end. How do we make that trajectory from Bethlehem to this experience of the last day? Well, I would propose to you that the way we get there is by the third coming of Jesus, that we celebrate every day here, certainly every time that we celebrate the Mass. Jesus comes to us all the time. The face of God that everyone feared in the centuries before Jesus is now very different for us, isn't it? Because we've seen the face of Christ. The voice that split the cedars of Lebanon and struck terror into the Egyptian armies now is the voice we hear, but we know it's the voice of Jesus. We can grow accustomed to the coming of Christ because it is familiar. It is even comforting. It is a daily practice, so that when we hear the voice on the last day, we will not be fearsome at all, fearful. We will recognize the voice on the last day, and we will recognize the face of God, and it will be a comfort to us. The daily living of the coming of the Lord transforms us. It doesn't change God at all, because God can't change. But it allows us to grow. It allows us to hear differently and to recognize God as a friend, even though we can't possibly know him completely, at least for now in this life. So let's use this time of Advent in a very practical and very constructive way. It's not a time, really, to be thinking about Christmas, although we should be thinking about Christmas because our celebrations need to be good and joyful. But we need to do that preparation. Find in your heart that longing, that kind of uncertainty that we felt even during this pandemic, when we were recognizing that we were pretty powerless and that we relied entirely on God. And let's come to terms with that feeling of coming, of waiting first of all, and desiring the coming of the Lord, so that we might find our fulfillment in him.